Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Hi, this is Ben McKay from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean.
Thank you very much, Ben McKay. Welcome to another episode. If this is your first time listening to the show, then welcome. My name is Dean Vasek, and you can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So I'm back today on Anzac Day with the boys, Frank and Mark. Unfortunately, Jesse couldn't make it. He had a family emergency. So I've got the boys on to dissect the game a bit more. We talk about the disappointing performance and where it all went wrong. Individual players and ones that are struggling also discussed which direction we should maybe think about because we didn't exactly have a young team out there. So let's not waste any more time and bring on the boys right now.
All right, boys, welcome back. Lots to go through. So thanks for coming on, Mark and Frank, obviously during this difficult time again. Mark, I'll start with you. How disappointed were you for Todd Gosling's 300th game? Because we came out flat, didn't we?
Sorry, was that was to me, Dino?
Yeah, yes, Mark. Yes, it was to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. It was awful for him. I think the most disappointing thing in terms of his 300th was just the lack of energy at the start of the game. When you would have thought there would be huge energy, it would have been like a final for them in terms of the importance and. You know, maybe they tried not to get too carried away with it and tried to play it down a little bit. I'm not sure, but being at the game live, there was a terrible vibe very early on. It felt like we hadn't brought any energy to the game, but they picked it up a little later in the second quarter and stuff. But the damage had been done, the tone had been set. So, overall, I think that's in 2022 we got used to it, and I think after the first two rounds this year. And even round three and four, although it wasn't the best against Hawthorn, at least we were right in it until the end of the game. And we put up a really good show against Carlton. The last 2 weeks have been very average. And this one, considering it was Goldie's 300th, was a bit hard to take, I must admit.
Frank, energy was the key word there with Mark. I think the end of the first quarter summed it up to me when we had a contest in the square and the ball spills. About 20 metres out, we had two people watching the ball, three people retreating to the goal square and two players slowly going after the ball. And Jared Witts kicks an easy, soft goal with what felt like an eternity to get a kick away. That bit of footage almost tells a story in itself, doesn't it?
Oh, the behind-the-goal footage of that was absolutely horrible. It was like we were actually trying to get off the ground. There was like three blokes retreating almost beyond the boundary line to sort of go, look, whatever happens here, it's not going to be my fault because I didn't touch the ball. So that was really damning.
Yeah, I mean, I think even Ricky put in his latest article sort of saying that we almost became reactive right from the first bounce, conceding two goals in the first 3 minutes and just, yeah, the lack of energy, like you said, Mark, was just really disappointing. We'll go through each line now. Now let's go start with the back line. We've got Ben McKay, who's struggling for form since coming back. Aiden Coy is probably the same player as last year, which I thought with the addition of Griffin Logue, would help him out. We couldn't get any run from behind the ball with Sheasel tagged by Holman. What is going on in there, Mark?
Well, I'll start with if I was building a defence for them, I'd be saying they haven't played much together yet and that they are, anyone who was at the game or even watching on TV would have agreed. And I think even Ricky said it as well in his summary. They just looked so confused. And body language was poor. There's finger pointing going on. They're just slow. Slow to react, but they are. Ben McKay, I mean, I know, players, people have sort of come out and said, well, maybe he's not a great one-on-one defender. But I've seen him be a great one-on-one defender and a good interceptor. And he's normally very decisive. He normally, when he knows when to go, he goes and goes hard. And that's why he's such a good interceptor. And he knows when to play on his man. At the moment, he's just looking around him like his head's swiveling on a 360-degree axis, working out where he should be. He seems to be about... I was watching it going, why are they 10 or 15 metres away from their man? And, of course, it's because they're trying to do this zone. But it was just so easy for the Gold Coast to pick it apart from our forward line all the way into their forward line. They just picked us off there was just a man spare all the way down the ground, all the way to the forward line, and then we'd be sort of hanging off 10, 15 metres, and they'd just lead. And they've got a 10-metre lead, and there was no one blocking on the other side. It was very frustrating to watch. And it looked like the defenders weren't trying, which wasn't the case. They just were out of position. And normally you look for the excuse for defenders saying, oh, the ball was coming in so quick. Now, the ball was coming in relatively quick, but most of the time it was a build-up, and we just looked disorganised. So I don't know if there's been a change in strategy with the zone since the first few rounds, or we've either tried to build on the original game plan, sort of make it a bit more, add some layers to it, or alternatively, after Mitchell worked us out in the Hawthorn game, picked us apart, the other teams have now worked out that's the way to play us, and we're still struggling to deal with that. I don't know. Someone better at understanding strategies would know better than me, but that's what it looks like to me. We've been worked out. We're not coping. I don't know.
Yeah, I felt like as far as tactics go, with that back line, it's almost like Ben McKay's trying to read the play and just not show enough respect to his opponent. Whereas, he is a good one-on-one defender. There's no doubt about that. And he has shown that, like you said, Mark. But at the moment, he's just trying to read the play and get intercepts all the time. And he let Ben King just run at the ball, and when he's running and jumping, he's very hard to stop. But if you get a body on him, you can beat him.
I don't think that's his normal preference, the way he plays. I think he's trying to get work toward the zone where he's supposed to be, and he's confused and nervous about it. He didn't look confident to me at all. I disagree that it was arrogance. Watching him, and I was sort of down that end in the first quarter. They just didn't look comfortable where they were. It's almost like he didn't want to be doing it, but he thought, I've been told to do that. That's what I've got to do. I think they're trying to follow instructions, and it's just leading to confusion, and they're not really confident in the instructions they've got at the moment. I think it'll work itself out, and they've just got to stick with it. But at the moment, it looks horrible. Watching it live, it looked absolutely terrible. So, I just think, I'm not criticising Clarko and what he's trying to do. I just think the players at the moment, haven't played with each other very long, and two, haven't played with this type of defence for, before, and they're just, at the moment, they're really struggling with it.
Yeah, and body language is a big part of that. You can sort of tell that some players are feeling very flat. And 20 inside 50 marks from Gold Coast as well. It's an improvement from the week before, but not that much of an improvement. So it's far too many at the moment. We've got to work that out. Frank, a lot of people have asked why Bergman and Goda can't seem to get back into the team. Goda did a hamstring in the reserves on the weekend towards the end of the game, which will keep him sidelined for a while. We seem to be lacking run out of there. Why do you think they're getting overlooked for players like Daniel Howe and maybe even Cole, who isn't doing enough right now? He's getting five touches and not doing much one-on-one. Is it just like Clarkson said, they haven't had enough time together, and like Mark said, to form that synergy, a lot of these players?
Possibly, Dean, and I wonder whether a part of it is that, trying to protect the young kids by bringing in that experience. But I think there's a tipping point where you sort of go, okay, look, we need some big bodies out there to protect, the Sheezels and the Tommy Powells and a few of the younger guys. But I think there comes a time where you've sort of got to go, look, we've got to see what the young kids have got. And, it's probably a delicate balance between what, someone like an Aaron Hall brings and what a Bergman brings. But I think we're probably at that stage now that we know Hall's not going to be there for the next premiership. My preference would be I'd rather have some tough losses with a younger side than what we're going through at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the other thing is, Dino, that I think that's a very good point. Watching it live, there were two things about the back line. Was one, getting out marked constantly, which was just hard to stomach, that many marks being taken inside our 50. But the other side was when we did get possession in our defence, getting it out was tediously slow. Like, we went back to last year, it was back sideways kicking or down the line. There was no fast running out of our back line again. Early in the first two rounds, remember how many times players were running past to get a handball out of the back line? That just didn't happen. It was sideways kicks instead of running past. Like, Goda would be, or Bergman were running past, and then taking on someone. Because they'd run past, they were then inside the corridor, and they had to kick in that area, and you had to lead towards them because there was no choice. Now everything was stagnant. So I don't know whether that's a confidence thing. We're trying a few different strategies as he builds. He's trying to get them to learn different things. But yeah, I'm totally with Frank. I'd like to see. I'm not saying we get rid of every bloke over 27 out of the side. Of course, we have to have some guys older. But the balance seems to be off at the moment. We've got too many older guys in, and we've got a lot of younger guys playing the VFL who I think need to get games, even if it means we'd lose by 50 points. Instead of 20, I'd rather see guys like Bergman and Goh to get to 50 and 60 games as quickly as possible. Regardless of form, I'd like to see Archer back in the side. He wasn't playing well in the VFL last year, and he came in. He was in the best straight away in the seniors. Drury played really well as a small forward. I think there's plenty. You know, Wardlaw obviously is going to come in soon. There's young guys that are going to be part of our next finals campaign, or we would hope they were. And if not, we need to find out. And Charlie Lazaro and Eddie Ford have sort of fall into that category. Jack Marnie even. You know, if these guys are still on our list and they're young, we've got to find out whether, you know, we're apparently looking for our next premiership players. Well, let's find out who they are. They're not the 28, 29, 30-plus guys. Some of them have to play, of course. Siebel, Cunnington, Goldstein, absolutely. I'm not sure whether we need Howe, Shields even, and Hall. I think those three shouldn't be playing, and maybe Turner as well. I think there's four there. Maybe you play one of those four. But we've got seven or eight at the moment. I think it's just too many. I mean, you know, it's just a hack amateur's opinion, but just watching it on Sunday, you just felt like you'd rather have some young energy in that side at the moment.
Yeah, it's probably a fair point, to be honest with you. I mean, Frank, in saying that, look, we've got Zeeble, Lowe, Core, and Mackay. They're not exactly, you know, handball, you know, they don't exactly give you run or drive out of that back line. Is that too many? Zeeble's been in good form. He deserves a game at the moment. Do you think one of them should be out of the team? Yeah. I wouldn't say Mackay or Lowe, so it might be leave Core to, you know.
Core, you're right.
Well, look, I think Core has struggled. It was, again, Mackay and Core didn't register a tackle between them on the weekend. So you've got to sort of look at what are they providing. My preference would be, obviously, Mackay stays in there. Core's really struggled. And so, yeah, there's another one that even at his best, he's not a dashing, rebounding defender. I think it's worth taking the risk with someone a bit younger and seeing what they can do.
Yeah, I agree. We'll move past the back line. Probably talked about them enough. We'll go to the midfield. Mark, and we aren't the same midfield without Simpkin in there, are we, at the moment? Even LDU seems to be missing him right now.
Well, I'm wondering if LDU's calf's still an issue. He's... He might be right. It might be the balance with Simpkin out. At least it was good to see Cunnington winning clearances and getting 27 possessions. I was really pleased for him, and he was obviously trying his guts out and his mates. 300th game. That said, he was getting caught a fair bit, holding the ball a number of times, but he was winning his clearances, and that's what he's in there to do. Disappointing game for Phillips, unfortunately, after being showing really good signs for the lead-up weeks. That'll happen. Thought Power was okay without being great. So, yeah, we were caught a bit short. And the question would be asked whether Greenwood should have been playing again versus a Shields and a Howe, because he's a different type of player and he's very good in terms of applying pressure, tackling and clearances. But there'd be an argument to say that they can't have he and Cunnington in the same side because of the lack of pace. But, you can't replace Simkin. He's just... such a great player for us. And I hate to say it as well, but they missed Thomas badly. You know, see, if you add Simpkin and Thomas into that side, it would make a world of difference, I think.
Yeah, no, I think so. Yeah, Cunnington, 27 touches, 8 clearances. So it's good to see that he got back to some sort of form. Frank, a good learning experience for Tom Powell to play on someone like Matt Rowe, who just wills himself at every contest and is a bull. I think he laid 12 tackles with 18 touches. And him and Anderson have got a good partnership in that middle of the ground. And, yeah, and that's where we want to get to with our midfield, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the fact that he laid 10 or 12 tackles, Raul, I mean, it just shows you that I think someone once said to me, you can judge a side by what they do when they don't have the ball.
Yeah.
And Raul's one of those guys that always tries to, if he doesn't have the ball, he tries to influence it. And it'd be a great learning experience for someone like Powell and a few of the other boys that you can influence games and moments in games, even when you don't have the footy, which, I mean, you sort of look at it, Dean, and was it Shields came off the bench halfway through the third quarter and equaled the most amount of tackles for the club, in a little over 30 minutes, you know, and you got to wonder, you know, is that because he's just an enormous aerobic beast who tackles a lot, or are the other guys not working as hard as they?
No, I mean, Shields only had three or four possessions. He didn't do a lot, but goal and was tackling hard. To be fair, Powell actually had the equal most tackles for the team with him, so that was good from his perspective. But you're absolutely right. You want to see if Shields can do it, they all can do it. I think there wasn't a lot of pressure on the ball carrier. And it's easy to say it from the stands, but we were trying. You only have to be off by a couple of percent for it to not look great. But you're right. I mean, if Shields is getting that number of tackles, that's not great. The rest of the guys need to have a look at themselves a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that just comes back to energy like you talked about. Now, you said Cunnington and Greenwood, they don't want to play them together, but they played round one and two, and we won those games, Mark. Why have people sort of changed their tune now, saying that those two can't play together?
Well, that's a good question, but my view is that, so I'm just looking at it from the outside going, well, they don't seem to pick them in the same side any longer. Mm. So that seems to be the decision that coaches have made. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'd rather Greenwood and Cunnington both played and we took out some of the other older guys and brought in some other quick guys like, you know, Drury, Archer. I keep saying Archer, everyone must realise now. He's a favourite of mine because his form in the VFL is not great at the moment. I do realise that for people that are going to Twitter me in the morning about it. But Bergman, Eddie Ford needs to be looked at some point. There's quite a few guys in there that I think could bring energy and speed into the side, regardless of, you know, whether they're absolutely killing it in the VFL. It's hard to dominate the VFL when you lose by 10, 12 goals, by the way. So that aside, I agree that I think we did win those first two games with both of them in. I'd rather see Greenwood and Cunners playing together. Maybe lose Turner and Howe, who have had a good run at it up till now, but they're not adding a huge amount to the side. Even Shields is getting on a bit. Wouldn't do him any harm to have a couple of weeks off anyway. They brought him into the club not to play every game this year, I would have hoped. So I'm sure, part of this might be, I saw someone on Twitter talk about the fact North have had to travel four out of the first 6 weeks, and that might, you know, potentially that's the reason they've played a lot of the older guys, and that's fair enough. There's some common sense to that, but I hope here on in, now we're moving back to Melbourne for we've got two games in Melbourne, then we're off to Hobart to play Port Adelaide, which obviously be a big game for obvious reasons. Mm. And then we're in Melbourne for quite a few games, but they're all tough. There's not a lot of easy games we've got coming up for quite a while. So, I think we can. I think we should take some risks now and bring some younger guys in. I think Frank said it earlier. If we lose by 10 goals with kids in the side, I'm not going to get too upset about it. I think we've brought in Logue, who's mid 20s. So we've got some older guys in. You know, we've got McDonald, Simpkin, LDU's getting older now. Even Curtis Taylor and Scott, they've been around for a few seasons now. Larky, Zerha, these guys have got to take us forward. We can't be relying on guys in their 30s at the end of their career. That group's got to start leading the way now.
Yeah, we kind of need that middle tier to really step up. And like you said, we didn't have a very young team on a weekend. We still had a lot of experience out there, which is a little bit of a cause for concern. Frank, we'll go to the forward line. Now, that seems to be struggling right now. What's wrong with Nick Larky?
I hope there's something wrong with him, Dean. yeah, because we have been absolutely putrid. Outside of Charlie Combin, who looks to be about the only bloke that can take a contested mark, we must be the easiest side to defend against in the comp at the moment. I think the numbers reflect that. But if he's injured, God bless him. Let's, you know, get him right and get him back to his early season form. Look, you know, he's never been a real sort of lead out sort of forward that takes the ball out in front. He's always been a little bit more sort of crafty than that. But whatever it is at the moment, he's either horribly out of form or he's carrying some injuries. But that forward line is borderline dysfunctional at the moment.
Yeah, it seems to be a common theme with a lot of with the back line. Mark, I mean, you've already – now, I won't ask you, Frank, about Kane Turner because I think I know your opinion. But, Mark, well, look, if we're going to play Kane Turner in this role, now, you kind of mentioned it before. Is it just worth now saying, all right, Jack Marnie or Phoenix Spicer, you might as well do it now? Because at least they've got a little bit of upside. I'm not too sure what it is yet. I don't know what it is, but both those boys are out of contract at the end of the year. We want to see what we've got with them. Is it fair to say, yeah, that we should be developing those players rather than the Kane Turner?
Well, and Eddie Ford, who, by the way, in his first season, played in 2021, played a lot of good footy, and he just hasn't had a chance ever since. So someone like that, Phoenix Spicer, Jack Marnie, we've got to find out, if particularly those guys that are coming, as they're coming out of contract. In fact, all three of them are out of contract at the end of this year. So we've got to find out whether they're capable of taking the step up. I mean, if you went by Archer's form last year in the VFL, he would never have got a game. I mean, he was getting six or seven possessions. You know, he was acting as a lockdown defender. He went up to AFL and he was brilliant. So some players, and I think Eddie Ford's one of them, that get better as in the with a fast tempo game of the AFL. So and the atmosphere and the crowd, sometimes those guys, some people are better suited to that. There's VFL guys that get 50 possessions in the VFL and wouldn't get a kick in the AFL. It's just it can't go entirely by form in the VFL. It's much slower. It's more contested. It's a different type of footy. But I 100% agree with you. I think we've got to try something different in the forward line. I don't mean wholesale changes. We're not talking eight players in this week and eight out. We're talking about maybe two changes, two or three of the younger guys coming in. Just to give us a bit of a fresher look and a bit more energy around the ball and on the forward line in particular, because we're struggling when the ball's in the air. If Charlie's not in the vicinity, we're getting intercepted. And Nick Larkey at the moment, I have to assume his hip's still sore because I was watching the game on Sunday. He could not get off the ground. It was just he cannot jump for Mark. So, and when he is getting his hands through, he's not holding it. So if he's sore, give him a week off. Let him get it right. And then give Callum Coleman-Jones the role of just splitting packs on the forward line and maybe creating some openings for Curtis and Larkey and Curtis and Combin and Zerha, who's playing further up the ground at the moment. So he's not getting a lot of flies at the ball. So with Zerha playing that role, we do seem to be lacking a lot more in the air. So I feel like we do need someone else contesting marks in the forward line at the moment. And by the way, the ball's not coming in terrifically well. They look for Larkey every single time. They're just bombing it on his head. It's so predictable. They've got to start looking for other players. Like Curtis, when Stevenson's very quick on the lead, when they do look for him, he invariably takes the mark on the lead because he's just too quick. And Curtis is similar. So I hope they start using those two a bit more and we try out an Eddie Ford. And maybe a Drury, who played forward in the VFL, got 90 possessions, kicked one or two goals, I think, and obviously is very good in terms of pressure. So there's some options for them to look at, and I think they're going to have to try something different soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of everything, like you said, Mark. It's the delivery as well. A lot of hoof ball, like just bombing it in 50, 60 metres, not to the advantage of the forward, and it's getting intercepted a lot. And even when it goes to the ground, there doesn't seem to be anyone there. Now, Frank, I'm not too sure if you watched any of the reserves, but Blake Drury looked okay in that forward 50, and I'd probably like to see him get a game this week. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. It's probably the one reserves game, Dean, I haven't watched, but I've watched him when we played him out of the back pocket. His skills and his decision-making seemed to be really good when he played as a sort of a small defender. I know he played a lot of junior footy as a small forward. I mean, honestly, I can't make an argument as to why you wouldn't play him this week or very, very soon, because we're just screaming out for something different in the mix. And he seems to be that genuine, or could be that genuine small forward that could give us that buzz around the forward 50 that we really lack at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the positives, Mark, Charlie Condon, like you said, and Stevenson right now. Now, Stevenson kicked, I think, 2 goals, 2. One of them just flicked the post. It's good to see those boys finding form. And I think Paul Curtis did some good things as well. Kicked 3 behinds, but looked pretty good.
Oh, 100%. I think I'd like to see Charlie play deeper. He's having to spend too much time up the ground at the moment. And one thing to say about Larky is he's got a good engine, and he actually likes that role when he's running up and back. Because he, as Frank said, he's crafty. He's a clever player. He's not going to do what Van Rooyen, that's probably a horrible pronunciation of of the Melbourne player on last night. Well, he looked brilliant, by the way. Boy, it'd be exciting to have someone like that in the forward line. But that's not Larky's go. He's going to use his smarts to get his goals. So I think it'd be helpful for him to have Conlon deeper. And him sort of not having to be the person with the balls kicked on his head every 5 seconds. Because it's not working for him and it's not working for the team. So, but you're right. I think Curtis showed some really good signs. Conlon's going to be a great player and he's desperate. He's tackling. He just needs to probably kick a little bit straighter. I think we'd all like to see that. I'm sure he would. And Stevenson's been great this year. I'm really pleased for him. I think he's always been clever, but he doesn't miss either. I mean, that left foot around the body goal to get us on the board was brilliant. And there's some good signs there. I just think they might have to look at some of the, you know, getting that other ball. I don't know who else has played. We've got Turner down there. I think Taylor playing high half forward, is he on the wing? Hard to say.
Yeah, he's playing half forward, isn't he? So, yeah, he's probably one that's, you know, you could probably easily take out for a Neddy Ford, to be honest with you. I don't think you'd lose too much. I don't think his form's been that spectacular or that bad. It's sort of been in between. He is a frustrating player at the moment too.
Mm. He works hard, Curtis. I think
he does.
You can't criticise his work ethic. He works really hard. And I think they appreciate that from a coach's perspective. I think talking about players when they don't have the ball, I think he's one of the better ones. I'm sure Turner's probably in the top few for that, but he's just not doing enough on top of that at the moment. So I think, look, again, we're not talking about, look, let's drop half the team. I think we just want to start seeing a couple of these guys get tried every week for 2 or 3 games so we can just see what they're capable of. You know, Drury's a rookie. He's only on a 1-year contract. I'm sure he's going to get more based on what we've seen already without him playing a senior game. But it'd be good to see him at the level and just see what he's capable of.
Oh, definitely. I think at the moment, this week against Melbourne, you'd probably, debut Wardlaw, I'd probably look at Blake Drury very closely as well. Now, Frank, do you expect to see better performances over the next couple of weeks without any travel interstate now?
Well, Dean, you'd hope so, but geez, we're coming off a low base, aren't we? As far as improvement goes, you're not asking for a lot, but I hope that's part of it. Because there's definitely been a lack of energy and urgency. So, look, I'm hopeful, Dean, that sort of starts to bed down a little bit and we sort of start to show a little bit more pressure and a bit more endeavour when we've got the footy. So, let's hope so.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, look, what about yourself? Can we get back to the form of the first month, you think? Or are we more of the team the last 2 weeks of who we are, really, but pretty similar to last year? Or are we somewhere in between all of that?
Well, I certainly hope the last 2 weeks aren't reflective of who we are. I don't think that is. I think in the first 4 rounds, forgetting the wins in the first round, but I think the first 4 rounds, we were far more proactive in terms when we had the ball, moving the ball. We've gone back to, for some reason, we've just gone back to certainly on Sunday, sideways down the line and just not taking it on. So we just went back. We've gone back into our shells, lost a bit of confidence. So I think if anyone's capable of, you know, getting us back to where we were, I'm sure it's Clarko. If I went on Sunday and it was in the third year of Noble's coaching reign, let's say he was still there, I would have been scathing about what I saw and very depressed. But because Clarko's there, I've got this confidence that things will get turned around, and he's probably trying new things, and the travel's probably, you know, had an effect. So, look, and that said, what do we lose by, 40-odd points?
43.
Yeah, I mean, this time a year ago, we were probably losing by 70 or 80 points. So, you know, I'm probably expecting too much. But, you know, they were big losses. But my issue is that we're probably losing by that much at the moment, purely because we're playing some of these older guys. And maybe if the younger guys in, we risk losing by more. But we might have more chance of getting even closer to winning. So I just thought with Goda and Bergman early on in the year, and a potentially Greenwood as well, I just felt like we were more aggressive and we were taking the game on more. I just feel like coming out of defence now, we've become stagnant. I think the biggest point that's come up tonight is, and I agree with you 100%, the four players, you can't have Mackay, Corr, Logue and Jay-Z. That just makes us too slow. And Luke doesn't play a fast running. He's not a fast-running player out of defence either. He's a lockdown player more than anything else, and he's in the clinches. So that's leaving us with Sheasel as a running player out of the back line. It's too much to expect him to be that. And they locked him down on the weekend, and that was it. Once Sheasel wasn't our running player, once he got tagged, that was it. We were done. We had no way out of our back line. So they're going to have to come up with ways to get the ball moving from defence this week and get it into our forward line quicker, rather than this down the line. And when we do win the ball, just a long bomb on top of Larky's head. I think more than anything, and you know what Melbourne's defence is like, they'd love nothing more than the ball to get bombed in. We'll get massacred. They're the best in the comp at it. So we're going to have to try something different in terms of inside our forward 50 this week. It's going to have to be, you want more chaos ball, fast leads. You know, Stevenson will be crucial. Curtis will be crucial. And I hope Clarko pulls something out of his hat. Otherwise, it'll be ugly for us, you know. And if our defence runs like it did, you know, they'll do some damage at the other end as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's going back to that forward half game that we want to play, which worked so well against Fremantle earlier in the year. And at the moment, it's one of the most underrated statistics at the moment is playing a forward half game. And at the moment, I think it was 60-40 on the weekend. So you want to at least get, if you can get over 50% in your forward half, then you're a very good chance to put in a competitive performance at least. Yeah. We did have a similar amount of inside 50s, but that didn't mean much in the end. I think we got a few in the last quarter, cheap ones as well. But
that flattered us.
Yeah, it did. Frank, Mark mentioned we've got the Ds this week. He sort of mentioned the changes he would like to see. What about yourself? Do you want to see anything in particular? You probably want to see Kane Turner out of the team, I'm guessing. But anything else, like any players that you want to see, like or any players that you think, oh, well, now's the time to, you know, probably move past them a little bit?
Look, not really. Like what yourself and Mark said, I'd like to see a little bit of youth come in, a bit of pace. The one guy that I think I'm surprised that continually gets overlooked at this stage is Lockie Young. You know, not he's not the answer, but, you know, he has got a bit of rebound and a bit of dash in him. And I sort of thought he, you know, I'd certainly probably prefer what he brings to what Daniel Howe brings. But he's been a bit of a surprise for me that he hasn't had a chance because, let's face it, our backline hasn't been great. But other than that, some of the young kids, I think, need to come in. I think, Dean, the game plan that we're playing, we saw it in the first 2 weeks. I think it's a game plan based on high energy and high pressure. And when you don't bring that, we become really easy to play against. And I think that's kind of shown itself in the last few weeks. So just anyone that can bring some urgency and a bit of pace to the side, I think, is probably warranted this week.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty low bar. It's fair to say, Mark, isn't it? After last week, if anyone comes in, they couldn't do probably any worse than some individuals. And it is a combination of, like the system as well as individual players. And we've got, like you said, we don't want to make wholesale changes, but we've got, at the moment, you'd probably have to think 10 to 12 players are out of form at the moment, wouldn't you, Mark?
Yeah, it feels like that. I mean, to your point about coming back to Melbourne, and Clarko mentioned that in his press conference, so I'm hoping there's a lot to that, that they'll feel good about not having to travel this week. And they really do have to bring the energy to the G, otherwise it'll get ugly. I think all supporters will be happy if we're in the game at halftime, you know, we're thereabouts within a couple of goals. That would be a great result. I think that as a step forward, I think that's what we want this week, to feel like we're actually in the hunt. Up till half time and, you know, into the third quarter. If we get blown out a bit after that, I think that's fine. But I just want us to be desperate and put huge pressure on Melbourne this week and to feel like we make it hard for them as much as anything else and take a few risks. Look, if we turn the ball over, and we did, by the way, you know, on Sunday, that's probably some one thing we haven't talked about. Some of the turnovers were horrific on Sunday. But as long as they're trying to take the game on and they make mistakes, I don't mind that. I prefer that than seeing the sideways kicking and the down the line stuff. I don't think that's going to get us anywhere long term. So I think we're going to have to take it on against Melbourne and just, you know, really apply pressure on the turnover. And that's been the hard thing the last 2 weeks. When we're making a mistake this week, in the last fortnight, we can't defend our turnovers where we were doing that really well in the first four rounds. Every time we turn it over in the last 2 weeks, it results in a goal. So, sure, they'll work that out this week between them. There's some very smart people down there that'll sort it out. And I'm sure they know what they're doing wrong. It's just a question of getting it right, and hopefully being back in Melbourne will help things a bit.
It's a fair point there, Mark. Now, Frank, we probably took the game a bit too, took the game on a little bit too much against the week before against Brisbane, where we lost by 70 odd points and got killed on the turnovers. Whereas on the weekend we played very safe. We kind of have to get that balance right, don't we? Somewhere in between, you've got to pick your moments to take the game on. And sometimes, I mean, you can't always take the game on. You're going to have to kick long down the line on occasions. But it's about getting that balance back now, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just got to be a bit more courageous. And I think that, you know, probably off the last few weeks when things haven't gone our way, they probably lose confidence in each other and who they're kicking it to, maybe hesitate a little bit. But I think they've just got to try and build that trust again to move the ball quickly. And like you said, know when not to, but at the moment we're a little bit too predictable in that when we do win the ball back, there's no rush to get it forward and it just makes it very easy to defend. So, yeah, I agree, Dean. I think it's got to be a bit better balance, but they certainly need to become a little bit more adventurous in getting the ball forward.
Actually, you're right, Dino. They massively overcorrected from the Brisbane game. I hadn't even thought of that, but that's spot on. Last week it was one too many handballs. This week it was no handballs. I hadn't even thought of it, but that's exactly right. They've obviously tried to overcorrect and they've gone a bit too far.
Yeah, no, it's a funny game, and I think, Mark, a lot of these players have got long memories, and when things go against them, and you become reactive like we have, they probably remember last year and the last couple of years of not winning games. But there's things you can't control, and that's work rate. And that's where it's got to start. We've got to start in a contest. And if we get Simpkin back this week, which looks likely, it'll probably just help us out a lot. And, we can really attack that contest with him and Cunnington on the first bounce and become a bit more ruthless, Mark. I think that's where we need to go to now because, at the moment there was nothing. It was almost a little bit of a listless performance over the weekend.
Well, it's true. I think I'm very interested looking at what St Kilda are doing. And, I mean, if you ever want an example of what playing your role can do to the success of a side, look no further than St Kilda and Ross Lyon's philosophy. I mean, he is the number one at taking average players, giving them a role and saying, you play your role, you'll stay in the side. And and he plays to the players' strengths. So they're a good running side, and I think that's probably been lacking with us the last few weeks. We just haven't been running as hard as we did early on. Like, you go back and look at that Freo game, we were absolutely relentless with our running. I think we need to get back to that a little bit. And we, that might be part of the travel thing as well. We're just a bit sore and a bit flat. So, and we certainly looked that way on Sunday. So hopefully they'll freshen them up this week and we'll get that back. But I hope the guys also, you know, the players as well, get back to playing the role they've got to play, you know, whatever sacrifice they have to make with their own game to help the team. And that part of that is when we do turn the ball over, you've got to be proactive in defending and, you know, focusing on where your position needs to be. And hopefully the back line this week has a much better understanding of what role they need to play and not worrying about blaming anyone else. Just focus on what you need to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, they look all a little bit lost at the moment and a bit despondent, which is a bit of a concern with a couple of senior players as well that were looking at each other and, questioning each other by looks of, without saying too much words, just the body language was a bit disappointing. Frank, Mason Wood, should we go after him at the end of the year? He's doing pretty well.
Yeah, he seems to be doing quite well at the Saints, doesn't he, Doug? Well, good luck to him again. You know, as Mark was saying, a role player and doing his job. Look, you know, I don't know what Mason Wood would bring to our side on current form, to be completely honest. I'm not sure he's a guy that puts the team on his back and says, follow me. I think he's a bit of a role player and he's reveling in the high pressure sort of game and good on him. But for me, I think I'd prefer to just sort of go with what we've got and try to unearth, some young talent.
Well, I could be having this conversation with you in 12 months about Kane Turner when he's an All-Australian for another club next year. So, we'll see how we go. Mark, what's your prediction coming up against the D's? Do you expect a bounce-back win of 10 goals plus or something this week?
No, I'll probably not 10 goals. I'm hoping we're within, I'll be conservative. I always pick us to win, but I won't this week. I'd like us to be within 40 points this week. I'll be very happy.
Oh, geez, that's a low bar. What about yourself, Frank?
Look, 40 points, yeah. I'd like us to be in the game at three-quarter time.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's a goal behind, three goals behind, and then it kind of blows out, I can live with that. But to at least have them nervous at three-quarter time would be nice. And then whatever happens in the last 30 minutes, I can live with it. But I think recently the games have been over before, you know, I've come back with my first beer to sit down on the couch. So, I'd prefer that didn't happen this time around.
Actually, Dino, Frank's raised a good point. I don't want us to be 60 points down and bring it back to 40. I want us to be in the game at halftime and three-quarter time and blow out late, not to try and dig back some goals late. That's junk time goals don't give me much consolation.
Yeah. If there's another way to describe it, Mark, is I want them to have to move the magnets around at three-quarter time.
Yeah.
To sort of go, listen, if we don't watch these guys, they could beat us, but not to go in at halftime 60 points down and then lose by 40.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, if we're in at three-quarter time, they're coming off a five-day break, so we might overrun them in the last quarter with Aiden Corr giving us drive out of the back line or something like that. So, one thing about Aiden Corr, whenever he's got the ball, he uses the ball quite well. Problem is, he only touches about five times a game, so that's what you get from him, unfortunately. So he needs to get more involved, and I think he should even be taking the kickouts, to be honest with you, because he's got a good foot on him and he does generally hit targets. But if he does play, anyways, boys, Mark, you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, I think we've all got our fingers crossed for this week.
Yeah, legs, fingers, whatever you can find. Frank, what about yourself?
No, just I guess a belated congratulations to Goldie for being a fantastic contributor to the club over all these years. Unfortunately, like we said at the start of the program, he didn't have enough friends out on the ground that felt that it was as important as we probably did. But hopefully 301 can inspire a few of them to work a bit harder.
Yeah, no, that's a good message to finish off. Well, Mark, thank you for coming on. I'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Frank, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much to those boys for coming on today. And thank you to all you lovely listeners for the likes, comments, and retweets you put out for the show. Much appreciated. Keep subscribing, leaving ratings and reviews on all podcast platforms you listeners use. Helps us go out to more North supporters, which is important. So that's it for today's show. I'll be back later in the week to talk more and preview the game coming up. I do have guests lined up. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do one or two more shows this week. You'll see. Just check your feed when they come out. I'll tweet it out on Twitter as well. So that's it. Today, I will leave a shout-out to Lankan Roo, @LankanRoo. Bye for now, and go Roos.